This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Leaving a Lasting Legacy. In these teachings, Pastor Rick shares the biblical principles we need to pass on to the next generation in order to ensure their spiritual success. The circumstances of last year have left many people searching for the peace and assurance you and I know can only be found in God's Word. That's why I'm excited to share that we have a $50,000 matching grant, which will double any gift you give today. This is a great opportunity to reach twice as many people with the certain hope of Jesus. Together, we can take the Word of God to people in need around the world through Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Living by Your Convictions.
Since we're all going to live together forever, we better get along. Here's the idea. Since we're all together in the church and we're going to live together, then what we need to do is I must love the family of God too. It's not enough to just love God. You must love the church. The Bible says Christ died for the church. You want to know how much he loves the church? He died for it. And anybody who says, well, I love Jesus, I just don't need the church, doesn't get it. They're an immature believer. A lot of people use the church but don't love it. Do you? Do you love the church or you just use the church? Christ died for it. I must learn to love every other Christian. Now, I don't know if you noticed this, but you probably did at Thanksgiving, that no family is perfect. Right? Okay? And you probably noticed at Thanksgiving time that every family has its own peculiar dysfunctions. Everybody's got their Uncle Otto, you know? Don't look at him right now, you know? But you know, in spite of the imperfections in your family, you gotta love them. The same is true with the family of God. There is no perfect church. We're all imperfect people, and so how could you get a bunch of imperfect people to make a perfect church? There is no perfect church, never will find one. But you gotta love it. And the fact is, love is more important than anything else. When you're family, you stick up for your family. You don't criticize them out in public, you stick up for your family. Now, I don't know this, but why? But it's sad, some Christians and even some preachers spend all their time criticizing other Christians or spend all their time criticizing other churches. And it seems to me that a lot of them tend to congregate on the radio. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. But they get on the radio and all they do is spend all their time criticizing other Christians or criticizing other churches. Well, that's not right. That's not right at all. You see, love is more important than personal differences in the family of God. Love is more important than political differences. The Bible says that style is not as important as love, personality is not as important as love, even doctrinal differences aren't as important as love. If you love Jesus, we're on the same team. We're not in competition with any other church. If they love Jesus, I don't care what the label is, we're in the same family.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Right now, we'd like to tell you about an exciting resource from Pastor Rick, the Re-Energize Your Life Guided Experience book. In this book, created from Pastor Rick's most practical teaching, you will learn everything you need to know to re-energize your life the way God intended. You'll benefit from biblical wisdom and learn how to apply it to your life in practical ways. Not only will you learn how to relieve stress, Pastor Rick will show you how to discover your purpose and build margin into your schedule. step by step, you will begin a journey of spiritual restoration and renewal. You'll restore your energy and reclaim your passion as you learn how to let Jesus lighten your load and discover the key to a balanced life. You can go through this hands-on guided experience at your own pace. No need to rush. You'll have time to reflect and celebrate your progress. This high-quality, vegan leather, four-color guided experience book is a user-friendly, interactive powerhouse. Its eye-pleasing pages are packed with devotionals, verses, and Bible teachings that will dramatically impact your spiritual life forever. Don't settle for a bland existence. Re-energize your life now with this guided experience book from Pastor Rick Warren. Today, when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the certain hope of Jesus to a lost world, we'll send you Re-Energize Your Life to say thanks. Call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com today to get this incredible resource and have your financial gift matched up to $50,000. This opportunity is only available till the end of this month, so please contact us right away. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. There are only 2 days left to get your copy of this study resource and have your gift matched up to $50,000. So don't wait.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
If you love Jesus, we're on the same team. We're not in competition with any other church. If they love Jesus, I don't care what the label is, we're in the same family. And we're all together. And God hates it when we argue with each other. In fact, look what the Bible says here in 1 Timothy. Don't let people waste time in endless speculations over myths and spiritual pedigrees. He's talking about minor doctrinal differences between this group of Christians and this group of Christians and this group. Don't waste your time on that. For these things only cause arguments. They don't help people live a life of faith in God. And Paul says, the purpose of my instruction. Now, Paul's going to tell you the reason for preaching. He says, here's purpose-driven preaching. The purpose of my teaching, my instruction, is that all the Christians would be filled with love. That's what the purpose of preaching is, to fill Christians with love. That comes from three things, a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith. Paul says the purpose of teaching the Word of God is not knowledge. It's that you learn how to love. And that love comes out of a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith. He goes on to say, but some teachers have missed the whole point. They've turned away from these things and spend their time arguing and talking foolishness. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. When you were a kid, did your parents enjoy watching the kids argue? No. Did they like it? And did they encourage you to fight among yourselves? Not hardly. Those of you parents, do you enjoy it when your kids fight? No. And neither does God. In fact, did you know, this is going to blow your mind, that five times in the New Testament, Christians are forbidden to argue with each other? Not once. Five times in the New Testament, Christians are forbidden to argue with each other. He said, don't do it. I want you to be unified. I want you to be harmonized. I want you to be in one love together. Let me just give you one example. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Brothers and sisters, I appeal to you by the authority of the Lord Jesus to stop arguing among yourselves. Let there be real harmony so there won't be any divisions in the church. No divisions. I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. You see, we're never going to get everybody to agree on style, get everybody to agree on music, or even get everybody to agree on doctrine. He says, be of one mind in purpose. It is the purposes of God and the purposes of the church that will unify the church. Now, God loves unity because he gets glory when his children get along with each other, when they love each other, when they're in harmony with each other. And God hates disunity. In fact, he judges people that cause division and conflict and criticism and arguing within the church. He makes it very clear through the New Testament. Do you know that when Jesus was betrayed by Judas, the night before he went to be crucified on the cross, he's in the garden praying. He's thinking about the cross the next day. You know what he prayed about most? Not the suffering he was going to go through. He prayed what he cared about most. And that prayer is in John 17. It's an entire chapter. And the prayer is a prayer for unity. He says, Father, I want my people to be one. I want my family to be one. I want the church to be unified and one and in harmony and not criticizing each other, not arguing with each other. May they be one. The world will be one, W-O-N, when the church is one, O-N-E. And he prayed that. It was the most important thing on the heart of God was that his family be unified. Now, what is the opposition when on this second conviction that it is the church that must be unified together and must be in harmony? What is the opposition? Well, it's anybody who criticizes other Christians and creates conflict. The Bible says this in Romans 16, verse 17. Look out for those who cause people to be against each other and who upset other people's faith. They are against the true teaching that you learn, so stay away from them. In fact, not only do you stay away from them, here's what God tells pastors to do. Look at the next verse here on the screen. Titus 3:10, warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time, and after that, have nothing to do with him. That's how serious God takes Christians who criticize other Christians and are creating conflict and division. You see, instead of criticizing each other, God wants us to be thanking God for each other. He wants us to be thanking, first, that we're saved, and second, that we're in his family. Paul says it like this on the screen, Romans 1:8. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the whole world is hearing about your faith. You know, friends, if there's any church in the world that verse is true about right now, it's Saddleback. And everywhere I go, people say, where are you from? Saddleback. Oh, your faith is being heard about all around the world. Really, all around the world. And when I'm on the road or when I'm here, or when I'm studying, I'm always thanking God for you. And I'm thanking God for you going, Lord, thank you for a church that loves you and loves each other and is trying to model what it means to be peacemakers instead of conflict makers. When I think about how much God loves me and I think about how much I'm privileged to be a part of his family, I should thank God for every breath I take. Now, here's the first conviction. I must love God with all my heart. Second conviction, I must love every Christian, regardless of what they believe or say or whatever, because they're part of my family. Number three, God expects me to love everybody else too. Now, I don't know if you see the pattern here, but it's all about love. You see, life is not about the acquisition of things. It's not about achievement. It's not about popularity. It's about learning how to love. And if you miss that, you've missed the lesson of life. God is love. And he says the most important thing is love me. The second most important thing he says is this, on your outline, Mark chapter 12. The second most important commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment more important than these two, loving God and loving other people. Now he says, love your neighbors yourself. Now the natural question is, who's my neighbor? Well, that's not a new question. It was asked right after Jesus said this. And Jesus told a very famous story called the story of the Good Samaritan. That story was told to answer the question, who's my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Well, I'll tell you, the short answer is everybody. Everybody's your neighbor. There's nobody you're not allowed to not love. You're allowed to not love on the earth. But there's a specific answer, and that is when he told the story of the Good Samaritan, the person who was most least likely to love showed the love to the person most least likely to get it. So here's the point. Your neighbor is the people you are least likely to love. Now, who is that? You've probably never thought about this. Who am I least likely to love? Well, I'll tell you, there are three categories. You might write these down. These are the three categories of people you're least likely to love, and yet God says you got to love them. Number one, people who are different. We don't tend to love people who are different from us. Different background, different language, different religion, different faith, different culture, different beliefs. We don't naturally tend to love people who are different from us. Second, people who are difficult. Difficult people are difficult to love. People who are rude, People who monopolize the conversation, people who are selfish, they're impatient, they're disrespecting or demeaning, or maybe you've got a boss who's arrogant and takes advantage of you. It's difficult to love difficult people. And number three, people who are dangerous. People who want to hurt you. And the Bible says, though, this is radical. The Bible says, God so loved the world. Now, who is left out in that phrase? The world means everybody. Even the people who are difficult and people who are dangerous and people who are different. God so loved the world. God's love is the most radical kind of love in the world. He loves everybody because his love is not based on their performance, thank God. It's based on who God really is. Now, it's easy to love people who agree with you. It's easy to love people who are cool. But God says, I want you to take it even further. And Jesus always pushes the envelope in teaching us about love. In fact, he says this, the next verse. Love your enemies. Oh, come on, Lord. You got to be kidding me. Love, he didn't just say, love God, love the church, love your neighbor. He now says, love your enemies. Oh, come on. Isn't this pushing it a little bit too far? Love your enemies and do good to them. Lend and expect nothing back. You got to be serious. Come on. Lord, lend and expect nothing back. He says, you will then have a great reward and you will be children of the Most High, for he is good, that's God, to the ungrateful and the wicked. Did you know that God is good to the wicked? Did you know that God is good to the ungrateful? He's good to me and I'm ungrateful. And he's good to me and I'm often wicked. Because God's love isn't based on what I do. Now, let me ask you a very important question. Who are your enemies? So, I don't have any enemies. Oh, of course you do. Who are your enemies? They are the people who have different values and different views than you do and don't like your views and values. You got plenty of enemies who totally disagree with what you believe or the way you live. Your enemies are the people who want to hurt you, the people who hate you, the people who want to harm you or harass you. And you do have enemies, but God says, love your enemies. Now notice two results of that. Look there on your outline. What happens when you love your enemies? Well, first it says you get a great reward. It says you will have a great reward. Every time you love on earth, you get a reward in heaven. Because God is wanting you to learn how to love. It's easy to love people like you, as I said, but when you love the unlovely, God says, you get a reward in heaven. The second thing, not only a great reward, he said, you get a good reputation. He said, you will be the children of the Most High God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Now, the implication of this, if I'm supposed to love everybody, including my enemies, the implication is I must show respect to everyone. Even the people I don't think are worthy of respect. I must show respect and dignity to everyone. And it's commanded over and over in Scripture because respect is one way of showing love. 1 Peter 2:17. I'd like for you to read this verse aloud with me. Show respect for everyone. Love your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God. Show respect for the King. Notice what the Bible says. 1 Peter, be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope that you have. In other words, you need to be able to share your convictions. But do it with gentleness and respect. He's not saying, now what this means is to go out here and everybody just say, oh, we're all the same. We're not. When you have convictions, there are some things that are always right and there are some things that are always wrong. And it's to just paste over all of our differences in the world and say, well, let's all just believe the same thing. Well, that's not going to happen. He's saying, even when you oppose somebody, you oppose them with respect and dignity. And you don't demean them. Just because somebody believes something different from you does not give you a right to demonize them. You don't have a, if you call yourself a Christian, you can't resort to the politics of destruction and just put people down and call them names. That's wrong, friend. Now, he's saying you don't have to deny your convictions, but do it with gentleness and respect. What we need is a coalition of civility. A coalition of civility. Civility means that I treat you with respect even though I totally disagree with you. And I may say, I disagree with you on this, 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 and this, but I'm not going to call you names, and I'm not going to put you down, and I'm not going to demean you because you are created in the image of God. Does that make sense? That's civility. See, here's the point. If you can only work with people on a problem that you agree with all 100%, you've just ruled out most of the world because your wife doesn't even agree with you. In fact, nobody agrees with you completely. Nobody. And so if you can't work with people who disagree with you, you've just ruled out the world. Now, let me tell you this. Even when you give love out, you will still be opposed. Look at what Jesus said. John 15, when the world hates you, remember that it hated me before it hated you. The world would love you if you belong to it, but you don't.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. If you missed any part of today's message, just go to PastorRick.com to listen again. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. Right now, we'd like to tell you about an exciting resource from Pastor Rick called the Re-Energize Your Life Guided Experience book. In this first-of-its-kind book, created from Pastor Rick's most practical teaching, you'll learn everything you need to know to re-energize your life the way God intended. You'll benefit from biblical wisdom and learn how to apply it to your life in practical ways. Not only will you learn how to relieve stress, Pastor Rick will show you how to discover your purpose and build margin into your schedule. Step by step, you'll begin a journey of spiritual restoration and renewal. You'll restore your energy and reclaim your passion as you learn how to let Jesus lighten your load and discover the key to a balanced life. You can go through this hands-on experience at your own pace. No need to rush. You'll have time to reflect and celebrate your progress. This high-quality vegan leather four-color guided experience book is a user-friendly interactive powerhouse. Its eye-pleasing pages are packed with devotionals, verses, and Bible teachings that will dramatically impact your spiritual life forever. Don't settle for a bland existence. Re-energize your life now with this guided experience book from Pastor Rick Warren. You can call 800-600-5004 or you can visit PastorRick.com to get yours. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle or 1-800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Today, when you give a gift, your gift will be doubled up to $50,000. And we'll say thanks for your support by sending you a copy of the Re-Energize Your Life Guided Experience, which will help you recharge your batteries the way God intended. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point of the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
There are only 2 days left to get your copy of this great study resource and have your gift matched up to $50,000, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.